Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Jesus House Event to Give to the Needy by Michael Bauer. With the temperatures going down, the survival needs for the winter are about to increase. That has been the case over at Faith Temple Fellowship, 1335 East 6th, also known as Jesus House. Faith Temple Fellowship recently received a donation of cold weather supplies from Crossroads Fellowship that they plan to distribute to those in need. Faith Temple Fellowship Pastor Donnie Kiker said they received a large supply of sleeping bags, backpacks, along with hygiene products and hand warmers. All the stuff that you need to stay safe outside, Kiker said. We'll be handing those out during our Season of Warmth event. The Season of Warmth luncheon will take place from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 25th at the church. We have sleeping bags for those who are in need right now, Kiker said. He added that this will be the first time they are doing a Season of Warmth event. We usually feed on Thanksgiving Day, Kiker said. We took a couple of years off, but we're starting to do a feed again and giving them supplies that they need. It may be school kids that need backpacks. These are nice backpacks. They have to be here in person, but we're going to have a Mexican dinner that day. It'll be a sit-down meal. Kiker said, if the weather's nice, they'll do the event outside, but if not, they'll have it inside, adding that they'll do as much social distancing as possible. Kiker also said that people are welcome to donate for the Thanksgiving meal. For that event, we can use desserts, Kiker said. We can use tortillas and things like that. Faith Temple Fellowship has a list of needs that is kept on its website at jesushouseodessa.com. People can donate monetarily on the website, Kiker said. They can get on Amazon Smile and pick Jesus House as the nonprofit and have it shipped here, and we get a certain percentage of that sale to the nonprofit. So it's a double blessing. They can also bring stuff by here, but the best way to do it is to ship it here. This is usually the busiest time of the year, Program Director Alicia Ramirez said. I don't want to say that it's been chaotic, but it's been busy, Ramirez said. We stay pretty busy. This is our pretty busy season. We gear up in August and September, and we brought in some winter survival kits Monday because we knew that people were going to be asking for them this week, and we wanted to make sure that we have it accessible. And when they ask, we make sure that we can fill that need to the best of our ability. Because of Tuesday's wintry mix, the Jesus House was closed. However, Wednesday things were back up to normal. When there's ice, I do not make my staff go on the roads, Kiker said. We can handle snow, we can handle wet, but ice is something that we don't play with. We shut down with ice because if someone gets injured, they could be out several weeks. And the same thing with people coming here. With times being tough due to the pandemic, Kiker said, it's been hard to not be able to communicate face-to-face with those in need. What's really hard on us is that we don't have the human touch factor that we normally have here, Kiker said. We can see them from a distance. We usually let them come in and mingle with them, but we're missing that part, and it shows because we're almost like a serving robot. We can't see people's faces. They have masks on. We don't know if they're crying or if they're sad. It takes out the human element of this whole deal, and that's the worst part of COVID. Kiker also said that they are in desperate need of more volunteers right now, primarily Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to noon. They don't have to work the kitchen if they don't want to, Kiker said. We need people to work in our buildings to get the backpacks ready. Kiker said the work is mostly hands-on and pretty easy. Some people are scared to mingle with certain people. We're not, but if that's the case, we'll put them in a position where they don't have to see anybody. Some people want to be hands-on, and all they have to do is let us know. I'll step aside and let them do what I do. He added that they always need drivers at Jesus House. We have a good group of drivers right now, but they need some time off. And if we can get a handful of more drivers, that would make it easy on everybody, Kiker said. Those who are interested can go to the Jesus House website and send a message or call 432-272-3362. If you go, what? Season of Warmth Luncheon. When? 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, November 25th. Where? Jesus House, Odessa, 1335 East 6th. Online, tinyurl.com/y3tkew9d. Quick Hit Christmas Light Contest. Odessa Arts has scheduled Inspire Christmas Light Contest for a chance to win one of four staycation packages. Winners will be announced live at 6 p.m. December 21st on Big 2 News. All funds raised benefit Bright Stars, a memorial dedicated to commemorating the victims, survivors, and first responders of the August 31st, 2019 mass shooting here in Odessa. To learn more about the memorial, visit tinyurl.com/y3q3j5zu. For contest rules, entry form, or more information, visit tinyurl.com/y4p85cpp. OC Board to consider appointing Lewis to fill trustee spot. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will consider approving the appointment of Trudy Lewis to fill the unexpired term of Royce Botiford when it meets at 6 p.m. Monday in the Zant Room on the second floor of the Salisbury Campus Center on campus. A longtime trustee, Botiford died in June at the age of 83. He had also served as a member of the Odessa City Council and Mayor Pro Tem. A report from President Gregory Williams will include the 7.5K committee. Director of Media Relations Sherry Dalton said in an email that the 7.5K committee is tasked with developing high-impact strategies that will lead OC to achieving the goal of enrolling a total of 7,500 students for the fall combined terms. OC recently announced that it has broken 7,000 in enrollment. The president's report also includes the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration, 3430 finalist drawing, mental health awareness activities, the upcoming Aspen site visit, and fall 2020 graduation. The challenge is to be physically active for at least 30 minutes every day for the month of September. Participants are eligible for prizes. Odessa College has once again been recognized as a top 10 Aspen Prize community college in the nation. The grand prize is $1 million. This is Odessa College's third time as an Aspen Prize finalist. In 2017 and 2019, Odessa was honored as a rising star for exceptional levels of improvement, a news release said. Part of the process is a site visit from Aspen officials. Other items on the agenda are an employee bonus, the pinning of campus police officer William McGillray, a virtual invasion, institutional effectiveness report, and a letter from a student. OC periodically invades kindergarten through 12th grade schools in Ector County ISD to show them what OC has to offer. Local News Roundup. Blood Drive. The Odessa YMCA, 3001 East University, has scheduled a blood drive from 3 to 7 p.m. Monday at the YMCA parking lot. To sign up, visit vitalant.org and use sponsor code YMCA Odessa. For more information, call 362-4301. Veterans Car and Bike Show. The first annual 23-22 Combat Veterans Car and Bike Show has been scheduled from 4 to 7 p.m. November 14th at Hooters, 2660 JBS Parkway. Entry fee is a donation of $15 for motorcycles and $20 for cars. Trophies will be awarded for People's Choice overall, best car, and best motorcycle, certificates for 2nd through 9th, as judged by the public. There will be 50-50 raffles, Hooters calendar, Hooters gift cards, basket raffles, and silent auctions. All proceeds minus administration costs to be donated to the Veterans Homeless Program. Visit tinyurl.com/Y2VL7LQS. Marine Corps Birthday Party. VFW Post 4149, 409 Veterans Air Park Lane, Midland, has scheduled the 245th Marine Corps Birthday Party from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. November 14th. All branches of service are most welcome to attend. Formal attire is encouraged, but not required. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/Y4XN69UX. Wedding photos needed. Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University, is looking for people in the community to lend theirs or their family's wedding portraits to get the chance to be featured in the exhibition, Betrothed, 250 Years of Wedding Fashion, from the Stephen Porterfield Collection. The deadline has been extended through November 15th. The opening will be on December 3rd. There are only 40 spots available. Photos must be framed and ready to hang. The final photos will be chosen by Porterfield. Please do not drop off your photos at the museum until you are contacted. To digitally submit your photo for consideration, email curator@noelartmuseum.org, along with a short history, dimensions of the frame, and a copy of the photo before November 15th. Online, noelartmuseum.org. Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, November 8th. Brandon Scott Collins. Brandon Scott Collins passed away Friday, October 16th, at the age of 41. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, November 13th at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home Chapel, with Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Brandon was born May 1st, 1979, to Gary Warren Collins and Frances Walraven Collins in Andrews. He is survived by his three children, Grayson, Emerson, and Weston, mother of his children and friend Karen, parents Gary and Frances Collins, siblings Justin Collins and wife Kristen, Aaron Collins and wife Shannon, and Allison Collins, a niece, and many, many uncles, aunts, and cousins. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to the Legacy Fund. Donations can be made out to Brandon Collins Legacy Fund or online at https://everloved.com/life-of/Brandon-Collins/donate/. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. You can send condolences to the family by signing his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Charles Lee Henderson. Charles Lee Henderson, 59, of Odessa, passed away Monday, November 2nd. He was born in Abilene, January 25th, 1961, to Arnold Lee Henderson and Helen Naomi Tennyson. Surviving him are his mother, Helen Henderson, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. He was preceded in death by his father, Arnold Lee Henderson, maternal grandparents, Revis and Emmy Tennyson, and paternal grandparents, Oscar and Gertie Henderson. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. tomorrow, Monday, November 9th, at Ector County Cemetery, officiated by Pastors Steve and Renee Phillips and Pastors Sean and Shay Lane. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Joyce Craft. Joyce Craft was born April 5, 1925, in Chillicothe, to O.C. and Beulah Compton. She married Eugene Craft in 1942, and he preceded her in death in 2007. She is preceded in death by her husband and a son, Michael Craft. She is survived by her daughters, Sandra Edmonds and husband Gary of Taipei, Taiwan, and Janet Wilhelm and husband James of Odessa, four grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. Private family services were held Saturday, November 7th, and an interment was at the Andrews North Cemetery in Andrews. Barbara Ann Bounds Woodard. Barbara Ann Woodard was born in Abilene to Ira and Bessie Bounds, August 14, 1949. She married Danny Woodard in 1970 in Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, November 9th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD to launch community literacy effort. District to pay tutors $25 an hour to work with students. By Stuart Doreen. COVID-19 has had an impact on student performance at Midland ISD, and the Midland community can help change that. MISD Chief of Staff Katie Atkins told the Reporter Telegram that a literacy initiative team has been set up, and individual campuses are looking for Midlanders to become tutors for students who have fallen behind or who are looking to improve. Tutors will be paid $25 an hour, she said. Anyone interested in helping students can register for literacy tutor orientation sessions that will be held this week. One session is noon to 3 p.m. Tuesday, and the other is 9 a.m. to noon Wednesday. Both sessions are at room 101 of Central Office, 615 West Missouri Avenue. Those taking part in the orientation will be paid for that time as well, Atkins said. It's a group that we have established at Central Office to support our campuses in very specific literacy needs, Atkins said. Atkins said the district did an analysis of where students were coming into the semester. And from that analysis and conversations with campus leadership, officials determined there is a need for community support efforts. These efforts include reading to students, working with reading groups, book clubs, or other initiatives. Atkins said the time frame and the days of the week commitment would depend on what campuses need. At the orientation, those interested can see what the district and campus needs are and then sign up for time slots when they could be a consistent tutor and partner with campuses. A high school diploma is required. For more information, visit the Midland ISD website under Human Resources. This article is entitled New Mexico GOP Concerned About Oil and Gas Industry by Adrian Hedden, Carlsbad Current Argus. New Mexico's oil and gas industry could be on the defense against the 2021 legislative session after Democrats maintained their majority in the State House and Senate after last week's election. While Republicans gained a seat in the House and dropped one in the Senate, with a Democratic majority in the chambers and the continuation of Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's environmentally focused administration, oil and gas leaders and the GOP are worried policy could continue to threaten the industry that contributes more than a third of the state's finances. House Republican leader Jim Townsend said he was concerned Democrats could again propose a moratorium on hydraulic fracturing after a bill was introduced to do so last year, and the administration's continued efforts to transition away from fossil fuels could bring higher energy costs and even weaker revenues for New Mexico. Revenue from oil and gas already plummeted this year after the COVID-19 pandemic led to a decline in the fossil fuel market and production operations in New Mexico. State lawmakers had an almost $2 billion budget surplus last year, led by oil and gas, but was likely to face a deficit of up to $400 million going into the 2021 session, which runs from January to March. Townsend said he was also concerned with the administration's efforts to adapt more stringent regulations on methane and other emissions from oil and gas facilities, efforts, he said, that could stymie an already struggling industry the state depends on. "The industry serves New Mexico very well, and we've got to protect that," Townsend said. "I think the industry will be okay, but I'm a little concerned with some of the things I've been seeing." In 2019, Lujan Grisham signed into law the Energy Transition Act, aimed at moving New Mexico toward increased renewable energy and setting benchmarks for the state to reduce its carbon-based energy. The move could lead to up to a 15% increase in energy costs for New Mexicans, Townsend said, which he expected the GP to oppose in 2021. "There's not a single thing that you could do for a family on a fixed income that's worth raising their electrical costs," he said. "It's going to get ugly." The current downturn in the industry, which followed record production levels and revenue last year, could last for years, Townsend said, and the industry needs all the policy support it can get as refineries close and drilling rigs are pulled from the oil fields. "You're going to see more of that trickle across," he said. "I'm really worried that with the demand side of our business being so flat, when the economy recovers, we're going to be hard-pressed to fuel everything." Larry Behrens, with Power the Future, the New Mexico-based advocacy group for energy workers, said the Democrats' success in maintaining a majority in the legislature was disturbing for the oil and gas industry. He said that while some Democrats have shown an appreciation for the industry's contributions to New Mexico, he expected next year's session to see more legislative attacks on oil and gas. "I'm concerned we'll see a continued assault on energy workers and New Mexico's working families," Behrens said. "There are too many lawmakers in Santa Fe that are beholden to radical environmental groups." Behrens said the Democrats' efforts to transition to renewable energy would mean shrinking budgets for public services, such as education and law enforcement. "To transition away from fossil fuels is to transition away from 40% of the state's budget," he said. "It's the height of arrogance to tell energy workers and their families that they must transition to something new when they've done so much for the state." Playing defense could mean educating Democrat lawmakers, many from urban areas far from the oil fields and communities that rely on extraction, on the importance of oil and gas not only to the state's bottom line, but to New Mexicans in the southeast and northwest corners of the state, Behrens said. "It's clear there's a disconnect between Santa Fe and what energy does for the state," he said. "As more in the legislature learn about its contributions, I think there will be real opportunities to look at these bills and ask if it's really good for New Mexico or a power grab for radical environmentalists." Robert McIntyre with New Mexico Oil and Gas Association said lawmakers need only to look at the state's budget to see the impact of oil and gas and problems that could be brought through policy that would hamper production. "Both parties have historically demonstrated a willingness to work with and prioritize the industry," he said, "especially those who craft the budget, and they know the importance of our industry." McIntyre also worried that policies such as the fracturing moratorium or a ban on federal oil and gas land leasing, as many have suggested would be enacted in a Biden administration, could devastate New Mexico's economy, where more than half of oil and gas production occurs on federal land. Lujan Grisham has maintained that she would prefer federal energy policy be considered on a state-by-state basis rather than a sweeping national ban. We've certainly seen what a devastating impact some of the proposals could have, and it's also important we highlight the environmental responsibility the industry has shown, McIntyre said. We can't divorce a federal leasing ban from the financial impact on New Mexico. If an administration pursued that path, it would be devastating. This article is distributed by Tribune Content Agency.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Monday, November 9, 2020. Share has new leader. Share, a local nonprofit that supports families with special needs children, has a new executive director after the retirement of Tom Jones. Jonathan Campbell assumed the position October 12, according to a press release from the organization. Campbell moved to the Permian Basin from Austin, where he most recently led a charity outreach program empowering teams of individuals into a lifestyle of service, according to the release. A story on Campbell is planned for future edition. A Q&A with Jones will appear in Midland Magazine scheduled for the end of this month. Meetings today. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. MISD Public Meetings. Three meetings are planned this week for the public to provide feedback on the upcoming superintendent search. The first meeting is 5:30 p.m. today at Lee High School Auditorium. The other two are 11:30 a.m. Wednesday at Bowie Fine Arts Academy Auditorium and 5:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Midland High School Library. Party boxes take the place of MSW's Rain Beer. Museum of the Southwest has canceled Rain Beer, which was part of Christmas at the Mansion. In lieu of the annual event, people can purchase party boxes. Director of Community Engagement Christine Eck said the box will include 18 cans and bottles of beer from a variety of breweries, a household museum membership, a bottle of wine from Bending Branch Winery, cans of ranch water, 2 pint glasses, 4 stadium cups, gift cards from local businesses including Smoothie King, Pie Social, Texas Sun Winery, Tall City Brewing, and Max Barbecue, a long-sleeve Museum of the Southwest t-shirt, and Texas Trash from Susie South 40 Confections. X said the boxes are valued at $300 each, but they can be purchased for $75. Non-members may purchase the boxes beginning today. For more information, visit museumsw.org. FBCU raising funds for High Sky. First Basin Credit Union is hosting a donation drive to benefit High Sky Children's Ranch. Funds donated by First Basin and members of the public will be used to purchase Christmas gifts for High Sky youth, according to a press release from the credit union. Donations will be accepted through Friday at FBCU, 3316 North Midland Drive. Restaurants to treat veterans, active duty personnel. Bubba's 33 locations in Midland and Odessa will be continuing their tradition of treating veterans and active military personnel to a free lunch on Veterans Day. Those who aren't able to attend in person on Wednesday may receive a voucher that will be good through June 30, 2021. Lunch is served 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The vouchers will be distributed Wednesday at a tent in the restaurant's parking lot. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is offering a free classic sandwich and a side for military service members in-store or online, with a $10 minimum purchase on Veterans Day. When ordering online, use the code VETFREE, according to a press release. Cotton Patch Cafe is offering a free chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken meal for veterans or active military on Veterans Day. No purchase is required. The offer is valid on November 11 with proof of military service. The restaurant also will give a commemorative American flag pin to all veterans and active military personnel. Today in history. Today's Monday, November 9, the 314th day of 2020. There are 52 days left in the year. On this date, in 1961, U.S. Air Force Major Robert M. White became the first pilot to fly an X-15 rocket plane at 6 times the speed of sound. In 1967, a Saturn V rocket carrying an unmanned Apollo spacecraft blasted off from Cape Kennedy on a successful test flight. In 2000, George W. Bush's lead over Al Gore in All or Nothing Florida slipped beneath 300 votes in a suspense-filled recount as Democrats threw the presidential election to the courts, claiming an injustice unparalleled in our history.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 9th. Locals host hockey hopefuls. The story was written by Michael Bauer. For Casey Georgesma and her husband Josh, their house is buzzing with players from the Odessa Jackalopes hockey team. That is usually the case when it comes to being a billet family for the organization. For those who may not be familiar, billet is a host family that invites junior players into their homes during the hockey season. Quote, billet is a Canadian hockey term, Georgesma said. It basically means that you open up your home to some hockey players and they come and live with you. They are very respectful. They're with you as long as you can have them. They help cook and clean and play video games. That's what our crew does anyway, end quote. Georgesma is the billet coordinator for the Jackalopes. This season, she and her husband had 3 players living with them, Lucas Kuhn, Riley Pitcher, and Graham McCormick. The billet program is designed to help players find a place to stay as they travel to different teams around the globe and pursuing their goal in getting a college scholarship and advancing their hockey careers. Quote, it's a great opportunity to give hockey players who are just chasing their dreams and chasing scholarships to give them a place that's stable and comfortable and feed them, Georgesma said. They need a home just like any college student, and having an opportunity to stay with other people makes it feel like a home, end quote. The players stay with their host families until the end of the season, or if they get traded. The Jackalopes play in the North American Hockey League, the NAHL, and billets have been an integral part of the league and any other junior leagues. As far as how many players can stay in a billet family's house, Georgesma said it depends on how many rooms a family has in their house. Quote, I mean, if we had a house with 12 rooms, we could have 12 hockey players, she said. That's how much we love billeting. We would have to hire a full-time chef to make that happen. Players also have to be assigned a room with another player, but beyond that, there's not much else to it as far as rules, though Georgesma said they have a curfew at their place, but it's never an issue. Quote, all 5 of us are usually home early, she said. There are times when 1,600 square feet may not feel enough for all 5, according to Georgesma, but she and her husband find a way to make it work. Quote, since I took over as the coordinator, we needed to have space available for 3, and so we made room in our home for it, Georgesma said. Of course, players spend most of the day at practice, but Georgesma said her players will help out with groceries as well as other chores around the house. For the Georgesma family, Casey says they have a small task list with each one receiving 1 big chore each week. They also help out with dishes. Quote, that's great because dishes for 5 people are a lot and there are 3 meals a day for them, Georgesma said. She said her players also do their own laundry. For the players, being in a billet family is all a part of the life of playing at the junior hockey level, but they don't mind it. Quote, I have billeted before, Kuhn said. I left to play hockey when I was 13. I billeted, and it was a good experience, even though I think I was too young. It's like you're just living in other people's houses. Obviously, it's a step in the process. These kids are grateful to be welcomed into another family's homes and share the opportunity to further their hockey career and take that step to achieving their goal, end quote. Kuhn comes in from Steamboat Springs, Colorado, playing it forward for the Jackalopes. For him, being homesick isn't an issue. Quote, "It's easy to stay in contact with your parents with FaceTime and technology," Kuhn said. "So for me, it's not hard." End quote. McCormick, who also plays it forward, hails from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and is in his second season with the Jackalopes. Quote, "Last year was my first year with the Billet family, playing junior hockey," McCormick said. "Last year, it was a little hard moving away since it was my first year. Coming to Odessa was a little rough, but then I got put in a good Billet family," end quote. However, that family moved to Houston, and now he's with the Georgemas. Quote, "They are great," he said. "They've really helped out, and it's a huge part of the process of getting the NCAA scholarship," end quote. Pitcher, who is also from Grand Rapids, Michigan, is playing his first season with the Jackalopes and says that living with his Billet family has helped him with the homesickness. Quote, "Staying with them makes it so much easier with home-cooked meals and getting to come home to the same house and sleep in the same bed every day makes it a lot easier," Pitcher said. "I can't complain about what I've been through. It's all been great," end quote. This year, finding families to become Billets has been challenging for Georgemas due to the pandemic, even though players are all tested before they show up to Odessa and are tested again by the Jackalopes. Quote, "We've certainly lost a few families due to COVID," Georgemas said. "As things die down, they want to be on the roster for sure, but it does create its own set of challenges, for sure. But for the most part, these are protocols in place and plans to shift people around if needed," end quote. As the season progresses, Georgemas said the players who stay with them become a part of her family and that they continue to stay in touch with them even when they are gone. Quote, "It's great to connect with their families," Georgemas said. "It's not just the boys that we connect with, but also their families. It's an opportunity to serve them. When they have to leave, we're sad, and when they get to stay, we're happy. Another perk is that we get season tickets. But it's really fun to watch them play because you get to cheer them on like they're your own," end quote. Diabetes eats away at health. This is a guest column from Carol Cates, who is the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. "I think after a while in nursing, most of us end up with a list of health conditions we pray we never get. For me, that list seems to keep getting longer, but the two things that have been at the very top of that list for me for years are dementia and diabetes. Dementia, because it is so hard on not just the person, but because in many ways it's even harder on their family. Diabetes, because it just slowly eats away at a person's health when it is uncontrolled. There isn't a single system in the body that is not affected by diabetes in some way when it is not controlled. Keeping it under control is a day-to-day challenge for most people. I live with a diabetic, and that is his biggest struggle, living with the restrictions that are required to keep that condition under control every day. Diabetes doesn't care that it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, or a birthday, and that person wants an extra piece of cake. Diabetes doesn't care that a person just doesn't feel like exercising today. And worst, those restrictions are for life, because there is no cure for diabetes. November is American Diabetes Month, a time set aside to raise awareness about diabetes. What it is, how we can prevent it or minimize its impact, and how we can support the search for a cure. Diabetes is a group of several conditions. In all of them, there is an issue with the body's ability to move glucose into cells using insulin. Glucose is the sugar that our body uses for fuel at the cellular level. Insulin is a chemical produced by specialized cells in the pancreas called beta cells. Insulin acts kind of like a key that opens a doorway into the cell that allows glucose to enter the cell from the bloodstream. That is a very simple explanation of something very complex, but I hope it gives you an idea of the basics with diabetes. In type 1 diabetes, the body can no longer make insulin. People with type 1 diabetes must take insulin every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. Insulin is really fragile, so it can't survive in the stomach or intestines, which means it can't be taken as a pill. That means the only way to reliably take insulin is by injection, which means people use an insulin pump, which injects tiny amounts of insulin at frequent intervals through a needle that stays in the skin for a few days, or they give themselves insulin shots. There has been some success with inhaled insulin, but it doesn't work for everyone. Type 2 diabetes is the most common type. Type 2 diabetes is also the one that is most preventable. In type 2 diabetes, the body doesn't use insulin properly. With type 2 diabetes, diet is the biggest key to managing the condition. Some people can control their type 2 diabetes with insulin alone, but others need medications and sometimes insulin as well. Gestational diabetes is when a woman becomes diabetic while they are pregnant. It does not mean they will be diabetic once the baby is born, but can mean they do have a higher risk for type 2 diabetes in the long term. There are other types of diabetes that are much rarer, like neonatal diabetes, diseases of the pancreas that affect the beta cells, like pancreatitis, and drug or chemical-induced diabetes. Those are all treated similarly to either type 1 or type 2 diabetes, depending on if the person is making insulin or not. If you are at risk for type 2 diabetes, you can delay or even prevent the onset of diabetes. The American Diabetes Association has a 60-second type 2 diabetes risk test on their website at www.diabetes.org to help you determine your risk of type 2 diabetes, and great resources to help you control your risk of diabetes and hopefully prevent that condition. While diabetes is a challenge, there is also a great deal of good news with diabetes right now. The Endocrine Society says that while the cure to diabetes is still in the distant future, there is research going on that is showing promise in finding a cure. Most of those are genetic therapies that allow the body to replace the cells in the pancreas that produce insulin. The medications and technology that we have now are also light years ahead of where we were just a few years ago in terms of making diabetes easier to manage. For instance, there are insulin pumps that constantly monitor someone's blood sugar and adjust their insulin levels accordingly, so people with type 1 diabetes don't have to frequently stick their fingers to check their blood sugars and give themselves multiple shots every day. The meds for type 2 diabetes are better as well. They help control blood sugars better for longer periods of time between doses and cause much fewer side effects. Those things mean it keeps getting easier for people to keep diabetes under control and avoid the long-term problems diabetes causes. The American Diabetes Association website, www.diabetes.org, is a great resource if you want more information about diabetes, what it is, your risk factors, and how to take care of yourself if you have diabetes or are at risk for diabetes. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Editor's note, Ector County last updated COVID-19 numbers Friday afternoon. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 7,379. Ector County negative, 28,857 out of 36,691 tested, with 455 pending, 123 deaths. Recovered, 5,820. Active cases, 1,436. Midland County, 5,901 confirmed cases, 101 deaths. Texas, 956,234 confirmed cases, with 8,734,857 tested. Total Texas deaths, 18,743. U.S. cases, 10,282,293 total confirmed cases, and 243,737 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC website at tinyurl.com/tztrjlf. Quick Hits Donation Drive. For the eighth year, First Basin Credit Union has scheduled a donation drive through Friday to benefit High Sky Children's Ranch. Visit any FBCU branch in Odessa, Midland, or Andrews to make a donation and help make Christmas wishes come true. Account number 80001-02. All monies raised and donated by First Basin will be presented to High Sky to purchase Christmas gifts for children of all ages up to 17 years old. Gifts purchased range from necessities such as blankets, winter coats, clothing, and shoes to fun wish list items such as dolls, toy cars, and bicycles. FBCU locations are 1010 East 8th Street, 3316 North Midland Drive in Midland, and 1205 North 1st Street in Andrews. For more information, call Crystal Galindo at 432-333-5672 or email marketing@firstbasin.com or visit firstbasin.com.
Hello, this is Michael continuing to read more Monday articles from the Odessa American. Local news roundup. Turkey giveaway. The Medina Law Firm, PC, 2651 Kermit Highway, will be giving away 500 turkeys for its annual turkey giveaway for the Thanksgiving holiday at 10 a.m. November 20th. Due to COVID-19 concerns, individuals must remain in their vehicles. The Odessa Police Department and local DPS will provide traffic control in order to execute the event in the safest and most efficient manner. Law enforcement has indicated the best route is to drive northwest on Kermit Highway, take a left on West 26th Street, and then proceed north to Buchanan Avenue. Santa is coming. Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, has scheduled a visit from Santa from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. November 21st outside in the northwest parking lot. The event will include refreshments, music, video games, train rides, music, and more. Santa will offer distanced selfies at MCM Ice Rink till 12:30 p.m. First come, first serve. Only kids and one adult will be allowed to queue for this special experience. After the event, join MCM Ice Rink for Christmas on the Ice for a special figure skating performance with music. Odessa Police investigating fatal crash. An Odessa man is dead following a major crash that occurred this evening in Northeast Odessa. On November 7th at approximately 6:30 p.m., Odessa police responded to 52nd Street and Constitution in reference to a major crash. Investigation revealed that a black 2015 Chevrolet Silverado being operated by Oliver Ornelas, 49, of Odessa, was traveling westbound in the 2200 block of East 52nd Street. Ornelas lost control of the vehicle and left the roadway before striking a light pole and rolling. Ornelas was pronounced dead on scene, and next of kin have been notified. The cause of the crash is still under investigation. Death notice from the Odessa American for Monday, November 9th. Albert Villalobos. Albert Villalobos, 35, of Odessa, died Friday, November 6th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Shingles shot at 50? Yes. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm writing in regard to your recent column about a 56-year-old person recommending he or she wait till 60 for the single shot. In 2010, I was 56 and was told by my insurance company that they would not cover the shot till I was 60. Unfortunately, that year I suffered a shingles attack that started on the back of my head and moved into my left eye. I spent an extremely painful and stressful year not being able to see well and going through medical treatments. My cornea was permanently damaged, and each time I have tried to stop the eye drops I am taking, the blurriness returns. So I have told all my friends and family to get the shingles shot as soon as possible. I hate to see anyone going through what I did. GJ. Answer. I thank GJ for writing. To be clear, I do recommend the shingles shot beginning at age 50. The column was about a person nervous to get the shot during the coronavirus pandemic. I said it was okay to wait because the risk of serious complications of shingles at age 50 is low. However, as GJ points out, the risk of complications from shingles, even at a younger age, is not zero. I do recommend the vaccine starting at age 50, but the older a person is, the greater the risk of shingles complications, and thus the more benefit they are likely to get from the vaccine.
The more the merrier holds true for family gathering. Dear Abby, for Monday, November 9th. Dear Abby, we are approaching the time of year when many people struggle with how to divide time between families during the holidays. This is often made harder when there has been a divorce and remarriage within a family, especially when children are involved. This was the case in our family. Planning dinners and celebrations became far easier once I realized that holidays are not just an arbitrary date on the calendar, but a spirit of heart and mind. I let everyone else plan their events and then choose a day that as many people as possible are available. I host an event on that day, a week earlier, a week or month later, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that we gather in love and friendship and have a wonderful time. As a result, even my former daughters-in-law readily join in with their new spouses and children, and we have a ball. We get to blend together four generations, and our youngest generation is richer for the experience. We joke about having in-law and outlaw tables. I'll be honest, it took work. The adults had to agree to act like adults. But I am proud that everyone looks forward to coming to our holiday celebrations whenever they are held. My advice to your readers, forget the calendar and remember the reason for the gathering. Found Holiday Spirit. Dear Found, I love your attitude and couldn't stop smiling after reading your letter. Thank you so much for writing. I hope it will open the minds and hearts of other readers. Dear Abby, I'm a 61-year-old man. When I was 40, I was told by my sister that Dad had confided that our mom, who had recently passed, had been married before. We were both floored that it was a secret all those years and that, with a family of 12 aunts and uncles and countless cousins, no one ever spilled the beans. About a year ago, I asked an older cousin on Facebook why no one had mentioned it. He said his mom told him not to, and that my oldest sister, also deceased, wasn't my dad's daughter. Dad is gone now, and I only have my cousin's word to go by. Almost all of the relatives are dead, and the only living uncle was younger than my mom. He's in his 80s now, and he doesn't remember anything like that. I can't help but wonder what other parts of my life were a lie. I have suffered from depression for years, and this certainly doesn't help. Any thoughts? Jumbled in Texas. Dear Jumbled, I'm glad you asked because I do have some to offer. None of the parts of your life have been a lie. Certain parts of your parents' lives were obfuscated, most likely because they weren't proud of them. In your parents' generation, divorce was less common than it has been in more recent decades, but they are dead and gone now. It is time to forgive them for their lapses and concentrate on your own life. A step in the right direction would be to schedule some time with a licensed psychotherapist to talk about your depression.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Leo until 7:30 a.m. when the moon enters Virgo. Happy birthday for Monday, November 9, 2020. Physical, open, and experiential. You succeed this year in turning a discovery you make into profit. Your ups and downs smooth out, and 2021 sees you in relative ease. If single, your attitude toward love and capacity for developing a deep, meaningful relationship undergoes profound transformation, and you become committed this year. If attached, work less and play more, and your relationship reignites. Gemini is a master at playing. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Today facilitates well-being. Efforts you've made to enhance your wellness start to pay off. Don't allow a needy companion to drain your resources, or you could be taken for a soft touch. Offer words of encouragement, not cash. Tonight, learn from past experiences. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. The good times roll on. An idyllic romance is likely for both attached and unattached Tauruses. Your artistic ability is in top form. Focus on creative expression. Write. Your mental energy is at a peak. Tonight, dance with your sweetie like no one's watching. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. You're ready to get the house in shape. Take needed safety precautions and ask for help with improvements that might need to be made. Humor, or a quiet word, is the best response if someone has a fit of temper. Tonight, relax with your partner. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. You'll be on the go. A new vehicle might be needed, but wait a while before selecting one. Today emphasizes balancing career goals with family life. Be patient if someone close to you is moody and sensitive. Tonight, calls and emails. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Today is a good day to seek financial advice and apply for loans and grants. Financial goals can be attained. A less intense attitude toward finances surfaces. An elderly family member who's lonely reaches out to you. Tonight, make time to do what you enjoy. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today brings wonderful social opportunities. Your charm opens new doors, both in your professional and personal life. Answer all emails and calls promptly. Live in the present. Expect a very dynamic time. Strategy helps you balance career demands with home life. Tonight, up late. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. Expressing your deepest feelings can feel awkward today. Maintain a light-hearted approach to relationships. A new perspective concerning a love connection from the past brings peace and acceptance. Tonight, you'll have the chance to return a favor soon enough. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Your energy level will be wonderful. Ask advice from and offer assistance to companions about setting goals and pursuing dreams. Nurture your confidence and be adventurous. Become involved in organizations. You can forge some worthwhile friendships. Tonight, much online chatting. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Today makes you more visible to influential professional contacts. Past efforts are rewarded. Select meaningful career goals. Attend online meetings and social events. It's a great time to seek advice and to network. Tonight, your life appeals to you at this time. Very exciting. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Today is wonderful for writing, research, and pursuing the arts. You'll travel to new destinations that you will backtrack along later in the month. The mood grows futuristic as autumn deepens into early winter. Tonight, watch a foreign movie or documentary. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Today places an emphasis on security. Appreciate all that you have rather than lamenting lack. Someone near you may be considering a new financial track. Tax and insurance matters need your attention. An unexpected communication from the other side is possible. Tonight, research. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. An old flame can rekindle. Be aware of patterns and partnerships of all kinds. Wait until next month to make any permanent changes in your status. You are exploring intimacy and commitment on a new level. You could change your mind. Tonight, rest. Born today, writer Ivan Turgenev, 1818, actress inventor Hedy Lamarr, 1914, astronomer Carl Sagan, 1934.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.